The Synthesis of Yoga, Sri Aurobindo. Part 4, The Yoga of Self-Perfection. Continuing with Chapter 20, The Intuitive Mind, top of page 805. The highest organized center of our embodied being and of its action in the body is the supreme mental center figured by the yogic symbol of the thousand-petaled lotus. Saha Sharala. And it is at its top and summit that there is the direct communication with the supermental levels. It is then possible to adopt a different and more direct method, not to refer all our thought and action to the Lord secret in the heart lotus, but to the veiled truth of the divinity above the mind, and to receive all by a sort of descent from above, a descent of which we become not only spiritually, but physically conscious. The siddhi, or full accomplishment of this movement, can only come when we are able to lift the center of thought and conscious action above the physical brain, and feel it going on in the subtle body. If we can feel ourselves thinking no longer with the brain, but from above and outside the head, in the subtle body, that is a sure physical sign of a release from the limitations of the physical mind. And though this will not be complete at once, nor of itself bring the supramental action, for the subtle body is mental and not supramental, still it is a subtle and pure mentality and makes an easier communication with the supramental centers. The lower movements must still come, but it is then found easier to arrive at a swift and subtle discrimination, telling us at once the difference, distinguishing the intuitional thought from the lower intellectual mixture, separating it from its mental coatings, rejecting the mere rapidities of the mind, which imitate the form of the intuition without being of its true substance. It will be easier to discern rapidly the higher planes of the true supramental being and call down their power to effect the desired transformation and to refer all the lower action to the superior power and light, that it may reject and eliminate, purify and transform and select among them its right material for the truth that has to be organized within us. This opening up of a higher level, and of higher and higher planes of it, and the consequent reformation of our whole consciousness and its action into their mold, and into the substance of their power and luminous capacity, is found in practice to be the greater part of the natural method used by the divine Shakti. A fourth method is one which suggests itself naturally to the developed intelligence and suits the thinking man. This is to develop our intellect instead of eliminating it, but with the will not to cherish its limitations, but to heighten its capacity, light, intensity, degree, and force of activity until it borders on the thing that transcends it and can easily be taken up and transformed into that higher conscious action. This movement also is founded on the truth of our nature and enters into the course and movement of the complete yoga of self-perfection. That course, as I have described it, included a heightening and greatening of the action of our natural instruments and powers, till they constitute, in their purity and essential completeness, a preparatory perfection of the present normal movement of the Shakti that acts in us. The reason and intelligent will, the buddhi, is the greatest of these powers and instruments, the natural leader of the rest in the developed human being, the most capable of aiding the development of the others. The ordinary activities of our nature are all of them of use for the greater perfection we seek, are meant to be turned into material for them. And the greater their development, the richer their preparation for the supramental action. The intellectual being, too, has to be taken up by the Shakti in the yoga and raised to its fullest and its most heightened powers. The subsequent transformation of the intellect is possible because all the action of the intellect derives secretly from the supermind. Each thought and will contains some truth of it, however limited, and altered by the inferior action of the intelligence. The transformation can be brought about by the removal of the limitation and the elimination of the distorting or perverting element. This, however, cannot be done by the heightening and greatening of the intellectual activity alone. For that must always be limited by the original inherent defects of the mental intelligence. An intervention of the supramental energy is needed that can light up and get rid of its deficiencies of thought and will and feeling. This intervention, too, cannot be completely effective unless the supramental plane is manifested and acts above the mind, no longer from behind a lid or veil, however thin the veil may have grown, but more constantly in an open and luminous action, till there is seen the full sun of truth with no cloud to moderate its splendor. It is not necessary either to develop the intellect fully in its separateness before calling down this intervention or opening up by it the supramental levels. The intervention may come in earlier and at once develop the intellectual action and turn it, as it develops, into the higher intuitive form and substance. The widest natural action of the Shakti combines all these methods. It creates, sometimes at first, sometimes at some later, perhaps latest stage, the freedom of the spiritual silence. It opens the secret intuitive being within the mind itself and accustoms us to refer all our thought and our feeling and will and action to the initiation of the divine, the splendor and power who is now concealed in the heart of its recesses. It raises, when we are ready, the center of its operations to the mental summit and opens up the supramental levels and proceeds doubly by an action from above downward, filling and transforming the lower nature, and an action from below upwards, raising all the energies to that which is above them, till the transcendence is completed and the change of the whole system integrally effected. It takes and develops the intelligence and will and other natural powers, but brings in constantly the intuitive mind and afterwards the true supramental energy to change and enlarge their action. These things it does in no fixed and mechanically invariable order, such as the rigidity of the logical intellect might demand, but freely and flexibly according to the needs of its work and the demand of the nature. The first result will not be the creation of the true supermind, but the organization of a predominantly or even a completely intuitive mentality sufficiently developed to take the place of the ordinary mentality and of the logical reasoning intellect of the developed human being. The most prominent change will be the transmutation of the thought, heightened and filled by that substance of concentrated light, concentrated power, concentrated joy of the light and the power, and that direct accuracy which are the marks of a true intuitive thinking. It is not only primary suggestions or rapid conclusions that this mind will give, but it will conduct too with the same light power, joy of sureness, and direct spontaneous seeing of the truth, the connecting and developing operations, now conducted by the intellectual reason. The will also will be changed into this intuitive character. Proceed directly with light and power to the thing to be done. Kartavyam karma, and dispose with a rapid sight of possibilities and actualities the combinations necessary to its action and its purpose. The feelings also will be intuitive, seizing upon right relations, acting with a new light and power and glad sureness, retaining only right and spontaneous desires and emotions, so long as these things endure, and when they pass away, replacing them by a luminous and spontaneous love, and an ananda that knows and seizes at once on the right rasa of its objects. All the other mental movements will be similarly enlightened, and even to the pranic and sense movements and the consciousness of the body. And usually, there will be some development also of the psychic faculties, powers, and perceptions of the inner mind and its senses, not dependent on the outer sense and the reason. The intuitive mentality will be not only a stronger and a more luminous thing, but usually capable of a much more extensive operation than the ordinary mind of the same man before this development of the yoga. This intuitive mentality, if it could be made perfect in its nature, unmixed with any inferior element, and yet unconscious of its own limitations and of the greatness of the thing beyond it, might form another definite status and halting place, like the instinctive mind of the animal or the reasoning mind of man. But the intuitive mentality cannot be made abidingly perfect and self-sufficient except by the opening power of the supermind above it. And that at once reveals its limitations and makes of it a secondary action, transitional between the intellectual mind and the true supramental nature. The intuitive mentality is still mind and not gnosis. It is indeed a light from the supermind, but modified and diminished by the stuff of mind in which it works. And stuff of mind means always a basis of ignorance. The intuitive mind is not yet the wide sunlight of truth, but a constant play of flashes of it, keeping lighted up a basic state of ignorance, or of half-knowledge and indirect knowledge. As long as it is imperfect, it is invaded by a mixture of ignorant mentality which crosses its truth with a strain of error. After it has acquired a larger native action, more free from this intermixture, even then, so long as the stuff of mind in which it works is capable of the old intellectual or lower mental habit, it is subject to accretion of error, to clouding, to many kinds of relapse. Moreover, the individual mind does not live alone and to itself, but in the general mind, and all that it has rejected is discharged into the general mind atmosphere around it, and tends to return upon and invade it with the old suggestions and many promptings of the old mental character. The intuitive mind, growing or grown, has therefore to be constantly on guard against invasion and accretion, on the watch to reject and eliminate immixtures, busy intuitivizing more and still more the whole stuff of mind. And this can only end by itself being enlightened, transformed, lifted up into the full light of the supramental being. Moreover, this new mentality is in each man a development of the present power of his being. And however new and remarkable its developments, its organization is within a certain range of capacity. Adventuring beyond that border, it may indeed limit itself to the work in hand and its present range of realized capacity. But the nature of a mind open to the infinite is to progress and change and enlarge. It there becomes liable to a return, however modified by the new intuitive habit of the old intellectual seeking in the ignorance, unless and until it is constantly overtopped and led by the manifested action of a fuller supramental luminous energy. This is indeed its nature, that it is a link and transition between present mind and the supermind, and so long as the transition is not complete, there is sometimes a gravitation downward, sometimes a tendency upward, an oscillation, an invasion, and attraction from below, an invasion and attraction from above, and at best an uncertain and limited status between the two poles. As the higher intelligence of man is situated between his animal and customary human mind below and his evolving spiritual mind above, so this first spiritual mind is situated between the intellectualized human mentality and the greater supramental knowledge. The nature of mind is that it lives between hoplites and darkness, amid probabilities and possibilities, amid partly grasped aspects, amid incertitudes and half-certitudes. It is an ignorance grasping at knowledge, striving to enlarge itself and pressing against the concealed body of true gnosis. The supermind lives in the light of spiritual certitudes. It is to man knowledge opening the actual body of its own native effulgence. The intuitive mind appears at first a lightening up of the mind's half-lights, its probabilities and possibilities, its aspects, its uncertain certitudes, its representations, and a revealing of the truth concealed or half-concealed and half-manifested by these things. And in its higher action, it is a first bringing of the supramental truth by a nearer directness of seeing, a luminous indication or memory of the Spirit's knowledge, an intuition or looking in through the gates of the being's secret universal self-vision and knowledge. It is a first imperfect organization of that greater light and power. Imperfect, because done in the mind, not based on its own native substance of consciousness, a constant communication, but not a quite immediate and constant presence. The perfect perfection lies beyond, on the supramental levels, and must be based on a more decisive and complete transformation of the mentality and of our whole nature. End of chapter 20, page 810.